أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول
تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهديه الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. We praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى and we thank him and we bear witness that there is no deity except him. Nobody is worthy to be worshipped in heavens and earth except him. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his prophet and messenger. We commit and promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will never ever treat anybody the way we treat him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will never trust anybody the way we trust him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will never depend on anybody the way we depend on him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will never love anybody the way we love him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can love, we can depend, we can trust, yes, but we will never ever trust, love, depend anybody, on anybody the way we love, trust and depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do treat anybody the way we treat Allah, then we have committed so-called shirk, association with Allah, treating somebody the way Allah is to be treated, making equals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We commit to that and we beg him of his forgiveness if we deviate from that and we tell him, Ya Allah, if we ever deviate from this and treat somebody the way you should have been treated, then it's not because we deny you any of your attributes of greatness. It's not because we believe that we can associate with you. It is because of the weaknesses of our hearts and the evil of our soul. Ya Allah, forgive our sins. Ya Allah, help us achieve righteousness. Ya Allah, help us achieve repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wakil, the one who takes care of our personal businesses, personal private business on our behalf. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the meaning of his name. And as we know, the names of Allah represents the truth. Nothing in this universe is more true than the names of Allah. And this is how we should understand life. We should understand life using the names of Allah. On the other hand, anything that conflicts with any of the names of Allah is the most false thing in this universe. I'll give you an example. One of the names of Allah is Al-Khaliq, Al-Creator, the Creator. If somebody says we have evolved from monkey and lower species, we say that is a conflict of the name of Allah Al-Khaliq, then this is a very false. That's the most false statement. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we came from Adam and Eve, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Creator, and He is the one who created us, created Adam and Eve. So we need to understand the names of Allah to understand life, to understand existence, to understand ourselves. Today we will continue explaining the name Al-Wakil that we started explaining before. Al-Wakil is the one who takes care of our personal business on our behalf, our private business on our behalf, as personal as digesting our food in our tummies, as personal and private as filtering the digested food into harmful material that is going to be disposed in the bathroom, and good material that is going to be retained in our body to maintain our existence and health. As private as that, and this is evident from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the dua that you say after going out of the bathroom, you say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi adhhab anni ma yu'thini wa abqa alayya ma yanfa'uni. Praise be to Allah, the one who retained in my body the good material that would benefit my body, and the one who disposed from my body the harmful material that will harm my body. So you are thanking him for doing such a private thing, which is taking care of digesting your food. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do things that you can't do. Because we will come to ask ourselves, how should we set our expectations of Allah using His name Al-Wakil? Would Allah wash our dishes and do our laundry and vacuum our carpet? Should we, if He's taking care of as private business as digesting our food, should we expect Him also to do that? Or how does this fit with the understanding of the name Al-Wakil? The simple answer is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do things that you can't do yourself. But He will not do things that are your job to do. He will not do your job for you. Digesting the food is beyond your ability. You can't do that yourself. So He does it on your behalf. Filtering the food is something beyond your ability. So He does it on your behalf. Organizing and synchronizing your heartbeats and controlling your blood circulation, and all of these things are beyond your ability. So there's no way you can do them. That's not your job. So He's doing it on your behalf. However, and not only that He's doing it, you're not able to do it, but also you don't know how to do it. You even have no knowledge of how this is being done. Not to mention, you know, you need to go to medical school and study for so many years before you can understand a little bit of how this thing's being done. So He is doing that in your behalf. Unconsciously, you are doing that. He's making you able to do that when you are unconscious about it. You don't think about it. If you look at the dolphins, breathing to the dolphins is conscious. It means that they have to think about breathing. It occupies part of their attention. So part of their attention is dedicated to breathing. When to breathe, when not to stop breathing, when to inhale, when to exhale. On the other hand, us, we breathe naturally without being conscious. So it does not take any part of our attention. It just happens naturally. Allah is doing it to us. Allah is helping, is doing it to us naturally without taking any of our attention. So is the digestion. So is everything that we can to do. How about what we can do? It is our responsibility to do. Don't expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do it for you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has demonstrated that, as we talked last time, in his immigration from Mecca to Medina, taking all these precautions. Medina is north, he starts his trip south. He makes organization, he hides in the cave. He makes plans and arrangements with the guide man to take him in an unconventional route. And he does all these things because this is his responsibility. And he needs to do his job. However, he achieved the failure 3 times. He was depending on Allah with his heart. When you depend on Allah, does not mean you depend on Allah to do your job. It means that you depend on Allah to give you tawfiq. What is tawfiq? Tawfiq is a word that we sometimes use to call our children, our boys. We call this boy tawfiq. What is the meaning of tawfiq? Tawfiq means Allah guides your effort to make them successful. Because you can do the best plan and you can use the best equipment and you fail. Why? Because Allah did not give you tawfiq. Or you can do much less effort and you will become successful. Why? Because Allah gave you tawfiq. You know, people who don't believe in Allah, they call it, or have wrong understanding of Allah, they call it lucky and unlucky. Man, I was lucky. No, you were not lucky. Allah gave you tawfiq. Man, I was unlucky. No, you were not unlucky. Allah did not give you tawfiq. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam depended on Allah to achieve tawfiq using his heart. So that's the job of the heart. However, his brains and muscles did the work that he's supposed to do, arrangements and planning and everything. He achieved, in order for Allah to explain and make this clear to us, he made the Prophet fall into face failure 3 times. The first time when he was surrounded and was inside his home, and his home was surrounded by 40 strong men from 40 different tribes, having sharp swords, standing surrounding his home, foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder. Anytime he goes out, he would be killed. That's it, his plan failed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that point, he demonstrated the verse where he said, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. He is the one that will aid thee. He is the one who aided and will aid the one who is muttar. Al-muttar is the one who runs out of things to do. I am muttar. I did everything that's available to me. I run out of things. I'm stuck. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have fulfilled the condition, is that you did everything you can do. You're not depending on Allah to do your work. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will interfere and give you tawfiq if he decides that this is good for you and this is wise thing to do. In the story of Hijra, Allah suspended the laws of nature to save his Prophet and to give him tawfiq. How? Allah put those 40 people into sleep. They put their heads, all 40 people together, put their heads on the wall and fell into sleep. That is not natural. This is against the laws of nature. So Allah suspended the laws of nature and he put them all into sleep to save his Prophet. The second time the Prophet faced failure was in the cave of Thawr. When they were able to track him and trace him and arrive to the cave where he was hiding. So now that's a failure. But because he depended on Allah with his heart for tawfiq, Allah gave him tawfiq by suspending the laws of nature for the second time and make them blind, unable to see the Prophet inside the cave. They are looking at him, they are not seeing him. Blinding their eyes. And then the third time he achieved the failure when Suraqa ibn Malik was able to trace him and find where he is and wanted to capture him. Allah, at this point, again, suspended the laws of nature to save his Prophet and to make him achieve tawfiq. How? Allah made the sand under the legs of the horse of Suraqa, a quicksand. If Suraqa is running towards the Prophet, the sand is quicksand. If Suraqa is walking away from the Prophet, the sand is normal solid sand. And that's not natural. Quicksand is quicksand in any direction, but that's how Allah made it. Suraqa goes to the Prophet, it's a quicksand, his horse falls down, and the sand is about to swallow him and swallow his horse. He cries for help from the Prophet. The Prophet prays for him. He gets up, he walks opposite to the opposite direction. The sand becomes a strong sand carrying him. He remembers the money and he makes a U-turn, tries to attack again. You know, the sand again is a quicksand. Suspension of the laws of nature, because Allah decided that this is the most wise thing to do at that point. And know that whatever has happened is the most wise thing. As long as things have already happened,
There is no way anybody in this universe could come up with a better, more wise thing to do than what Allah has done. Okay? Now, in the decision that Allah has made, which is the most wise decision, and if you believe that anybody could have come up with a wiser decision, then you have associated with Allah. Either you are ignorant about Allah's nature, or you have associated with Allah. There's no way anybody could come up with a better decision. Given the current circumstances, given what is happening, there's no better decision than what Allah has decided. However, in the decision of Allah, some people are winners, others are losers. So what you want to say, you say, Ya Allah, in your decision, make me among the winners. Don't make me among the losers. Because Allah decides, when He makes a decision, some people in His decision go to Jannah, others go to hell. Ya Allah, make me from the one who go to Jannah, not the ones who go to hell. So Allah decides that this thing is the most wise thing to do, and He did it. So we have full understanding. And the Prophet goes further to explain to the Arabian man, عقلها وتوكل, when he came to the masjid, didn't want to tie his camel. And he went to the masjid. The Prophet asked him, how come you coming to the masjid without tying your camel? It's going to run away. The Arabian man said, I'm depending on Allah to protect my camel. He said, no, that's your job. To tie the camel is your job. So tie the camel, that's your job. And depend on Allah to achieve tawfiq with your heart, not with your brains or muscle. Your heart should depend on Allah to achieve tawfiq, because you could tie the camel and the camel runs away. So you depend on Allah to achieve tawfiq. Allah will never do the job that we have to do, our job. If you look to the life of the Prophet, he has demonstrated that. And once Dr. Qaradawi was asked, how come the Muslim Ummah is so weak? And how come it's so helpless and Allah is not giving victory to the Muslim Ummah? His answer was that it is the job of the strong Muslims to protect the weak Muslims. Allah is not going to do our job on our behalf. It is a collective responsibility. It's not an individual responsibility. It is a collective responsibility of the strong Muslims to protect the weak Muslims. And the strong Muslims, Allah decides that they have not reached to the condition of muttar, as He stated. Muttar, as He stated in the Quran, is the one who runs out of ways. So Allah decides that this is not the condition. So Allah is not going to wash your car, wash your dishes, or vacuum your carpet, or do your job on your behalf. Many people, you know, another guy asked me, how come Allah did not translate the Quran to many languages? The answer that I came up, that I came with, based on what Dr. Qaradawi said, is that I told him that this is our job to translate Quran. It's not the job of Allah to translate Quran, because we can do that. The United Nations has an Arabic translator. We can do this job. So it's not, he does what we can to do, which is bring down the Quran. Then it's our job. He wants it to be translated that way. He wants us to translate it. He can translate it, definitely. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that Allah can do it. But that's not the way He wants it to be done. He wants it to be done by us, not by Him. Why? Because that's a way of testing us. Some people play stupid and they say, it's Allah's responsibility, not our responsibility. Allah talked about those people in many places in the Quran. For example, in Surah Yasin, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ قَالُوا أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ. When they are told, spend from the money that Allah has given to you to feed the poor and needy, they make a very silly, ridiculous argument. Playing stupid, they say, should we feed the ones whom Allah should have fed if He wants? Well, yeah, are we testing Allah? It doesn't take a genius to figure out that Allah can feed them. Yeah, sure. I mean, this is obvious. We don't need to explain the obvious. But He doesn't want them to be fed that way. He wants them to be fed by you, not by Him. Why? Simple reason. That is the test. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ جَعَلَ فِي رِزْقِ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ ما يكفي الفقراء وما جاع فقير إلا بتخمة غني ألا إن الله لمحاسبهم حسابا شديدا ألا إن الله لمعذبهم عذابا أليما. ثم قرأ وويل للمشركين الذين لا يؤتون الزكاة وهم بالآخرة هم كافرون. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has given the shares of the poor people to the rich people. Allah has given the shares of the poor people to the rich people. And if any poor person is starving, it is because there is a rich person that is getting obese. Indeed, Allah will judge them severely, the ones who don't give the share of the poor to them. Allah will judge them severely in the day of judgment. Allah will punish, give them a severe punishment. Then he recited the verse where Allah says, severe punishment. Wail, it's a word of threat. Severe punishment to the ones who hold the zakah and they don't give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Muttar. This is the condition where Allah suspends the laws of nature if He wants, if He decides that this is the wise thing to do, suspends the laws of nature and provides tawfiq to the person who ran out of things to do. In the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have also talked in Surah Muhammad about jihad and defending ourselves, and the strong Muslims defending the weak Muslims and the Muslims defending themselves. And he said, ذَلِكَ وَلَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ لَانْتَصَرَ مِنْهُمْ وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَ بَعْضُكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. That if Allah wants, He would have defeated them. Does it take a genius to figure out that if Allah wants, He would have defeated them like that? No, that's obvious to everybody. But He doesn't want them to be defeated that way. He wants you to do the job. That's what He wants. That's what He decided, that this should happen. Why? وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَ بَعْضَكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. The reason is to test you, to put you in a situation where you have the opportunity to demonstrate that you are worthy of Jannah. To give you this golden opportunity to earn yourself an everlasting happy life. Allah can do everything He wants to do. Okay, are we testing Allah here? Are we testing that Allah can feed the poor and needy so that we say, أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ? We're not testing Allah. Allah is testing us. Okay? Are we testing that Allah can't defeat Him? In certain situations, Allah decided to defeat them by Himself, without any effort, without any help from the believers, such as in the Battle of Ahzab. Allah, after He tested the believers, and the believers passed the test and demonstrated very high quality of faith, Allah decided to save them from going into the battle. وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ وَرَبَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْضِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ. He defeated the non-believers without getting the believers into a battle, and He defeated the non-believers by Himself, sending winds and terror and all of these things. He scared them out of the place of the battle and they ran away. And the Muslims achieved the victory. He decides to sometimes suspend the laws of nature and give you tawfiq. Because you run out of things, you have already demonstrated that you can do everything in your ability. In Surah Al-Baqarah at the end, Allah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not obligate any soul to do things beyond its ability, beyond its circle of influence, beyond its circle of reach. We misunderstand this verse and we use it as an excuse. But this verse is not an excuse. This verse means that Allah obligates the humans whatever within its capacity, whatever within its reach. So Allah does not obligate you to do things beyond its capacity, beyond your ability, means that Allah is obligating you, will judge you against what you can do. He's not going to judge the slave the way He judges the king. He's not going to judge the rich the way He judges the poor. Everybody's judged against, relative to whatever his circle of influence and ability is. Because that's Allah wants you. Allah have made this void for you to fill. This void is intended for you to fill. To fill. Allah gave you free will to move in this void. In this void, Allah gave you free will to make decisions, to choose what to say, to choose what to do, to choose where to go, so that you fill this gap. If you fill this gap using the manners of Allah, as close as possible from the way of Allah would have filled the gap himself if he is not giving you this gap. If he wants to fill the gap, he would have filled it based on his nature. Mercy, generosity, forgiveness. If you fill the gap the same way, following the manners of Allah, mercy, forgiveness, generosity, then you have demonstrated a quality that qualifies you to the mercy of Allah, and the mercy of Allah will take you to Jannah. On the other hand, if you fill this gap in a way that the shaitan would fill the gap, if he is given the task of filling the gap, you fill the gap based on selfishness, greed, meanness, arrogance, ego, love of power, making yourself a lord, and asking people to treat you the way Allah is to be treated, making yourself a god on earth. If you fill the gap this way, then you have filled the gap the shaitan way, and then this is when you earn yourself an everlasting miserable life in hell fire. So that is the expectation of Allah, is for you to do your work that you can do and depend on him for tawfiq. We remember the story of the guy who built the Titanic, and he stood and he said, even God can't sink it. Even God can't sink it. And you can watch the movie and you can see him standing very proud. This is the largest moving vessel, vehicle in the history of mankind. Even God can't sink it. And he really is a smart engineer, and he did a good job designing and building, constructing this ship. But Allah, to teach him and teach humanity a lesson, Allah decided not to grant him tawfiq. Even though he did, you know, what you can ever imagine be done based on the technology available at that time, but Allah made him miss tawfiq. How? In a very simple way, Allah made him make a mistake in the design of the rivets that connects the steel plates together, so that, and Allah at the same time made the pilot exceed the allowable speed, and then Allah caused an iceberg, caused the ship to hit an iceberg, and this hit happens to be planned by Allah to be in the same place where the rivets are weak. So the two steel plates broke apart and the ship sank. Allah synchronized and planned the events to happen this way, combining all bad things together. The wrong speed with the wrong place, and the iceberg hitting at the weakest place in the ship. All of this was coordinated by Allah to take Tawfiq away from him, and millions of dollars sank from the bottom of the ocean. If you go to the internet and watch the pictures of Titanic now, and then you watch the pictures, the same place of Titanic before, you will say nothing but Subhanallah, who has the powers of granting Tawfiq, which is making your effort successful, or taking away Tawfiq, which is making your effort fail at the very end. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. إني داع فقولوا آمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين وعلي بفضلك يا ربي كلمة الحق والدين. اللهم عليك بمن عاد الإسلام وحارب المسلمين. اللهم كن في عون إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل أرض مسلمة. اللهم إن الأعداء قد تجبروا عليهم وظلموهم، والأصدقاء قد تخلوا عنهم وخذلوهم، فمن لهم سواك يدفع عنهم يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم تقبل قتلاهم من الشهداء، واشف مرضاهم وفك أسراهم وادفع عن أحيائهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم لا تجعلنا من الذين يبدون مصالحهم الشخصية وشهواتهم على نصرة دينك ونصرة نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا واجعلنا فداء لهذا الدين. وأقم الصلاة، إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.
Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ما لكم إذا قيل لكم انفروا في سبيل الله اثاقلتم إلى الأرض أرضيتم بالحياة الدنيا من الآخرة فما متاع الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا قليل إلا تنفروا يعذبكم عذابا أليما ويستخلف قوما غيركم ولا تضروه شيئا والله على كل شيء قدير إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم انفروا خفافا وثقالا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. الله يا الله لمن حمده الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ جاءتكم جنود فأرسلنا عليهم ريحا وجنودا لم تروها وكان الله عزيزا حكيما إذ جاءوكم من فوقكم ومن أسفل منكم وإذ زاغت الأبصار وبلغت القلوب الحناجر وتظنون بالله الظنونا هنالك ابتلي المؤمنون وزلزلوا زلزالا شديدا
Allah. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله
Thank you.